Hey, everybody, and welcome to a brand new Sexploitation Sleazecast. I'm your old pal, the Moo Cow, a.k.a. Paul A. Presenza, and joining us all the way out from, where is it, Indiana?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is my co-hostess with the mostest, Miss Rebecca Reinhardt. That was not me. I have no idea where that came from.
Yeah, that was him. But yeah, he knows exactly where it came from.
Okay, well, it has been a minute since the last time we did one of these Sexploitation Sleazecasts. And gosh, I don't even remember what the movie was, but I do remember it was a little on the dull side, and Miss Rebecca was like, please, the next movie, can we have some actual sex in this particular
movie? No. The other one was the girl who killed with her tits. And I really liked that as a movie. It just really didn't have any. I was like, can we have something that has some sex in it? And so Paul, as he does, delivered.
I delivered, and we are watching a Joe D'Amato film called Homo Erectus from 1995. And boy, I'm telling you, there is pretty much nothing in this film except random sex. It is really strange.
Surprisingly, I will bring up some valid plot points.
Excellent. And I do want to just point out that Joe D'Amato is one of the main guys I wanted to talk about when I dreamt up this whole series, because he's somebody, he's been in involved in a million movies. He's done horror movies, he's done porn movies, he's done horror porn movies. He's one of the very first to actually do that sort of mashup and actually try to make legitimate horror X-rated mashups. He's done all kinds of stuff. He was like over 200 films, including porn films in the day.
His IMDb had like 570 credits.
Yes, it's amazing.
And I'm like, woof.
And the very first movie I was going to do, if you recall, was going to be Porno Holocaust. And at the time, I didn't have the Blu-ray. I finally have the Blu-ray. And the only thing I could find was the Italian version, which I remember I sent it to you, and it was all in Italian. And you were like, if we could find one in English.
I like the finer points of the porn.
Right. Because you got to have all that juicy dialogue to go with your boner.
Yeah, that's right.
So we tabled that for now, but we will get to it. But I knew, because there are many movies that we could watch with Joe D'Amato, especially in this Sexploitation Sleazecast show. So I picked this one mainly because of its colossal failure as a fuck picture, in my opinion. But
we will get to that.
So, Miss Rebecca, what did you think of our funny little film, Homo Erectus?
Well, first of all, yes, this is, I would say, the first actual, what I would call a modern porn that we have done. Now, we did do the Daleks one, which was 2005, but when I say modern porn, there are certain things that kind of came up in like the early 90s that would go through probably to the late 2000s before we started getting Pornhub and, some more amateur stuff. And there are a few things that this has that I feel like it was probably on the cusp of, it was right there. It was
not counting Bat Pussy as a modern porn film.
Right. So what this has is, first of all, it's solid fucking. There's a little bit of a intro that was in Italian or Spanish or something that was just like National Geographic stock footage of sea turtles and birds and everything. Obviously, you didn't know what the guy was saying, but what he was saying, you knew, was we're going to try to give this movie some legitimacy and make you think this might actually have some historical context.
Or scare the hell out of people who were just there just to watch, screwing.
Whoa. I already watched Labette. I don't need to see horses fuck. I want to see people, right? So it goes straight into just solid fucking. I mean, they don't even take a break for there are a couple like little places where they try to kind of change the plot a little bit. So there's that. The second thing is the Nya girl. Always my favorite thing of 90s and 2000s porn is the girls never say like, yeah, They always go, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely NYA.
Right.
All right. So we've got that. We also have the helper girl, who is a crucial part of this type of porn. And that is, yeah, that is either, you know, there's like usually like one girl, and it's usually a guy and a girl are like really heavy going at it. And the helper girl, just she'll lick a clit or grab some balls or whatever needs to be done. So there was always, there were a lot of instances of helper girl in this. So
I noticed that there's somebody's like helping somebody reposition, lifting a leg.
Yeah, no. The helper girl, that's a crucial part of this kind of porn.
It's like a sex intern.
Yeah, it's like the on-set fluffer. You know, really like weird. While they're filming, it's odd. But I'm going to be honest with you, Paul. Everything I know about cave people, I've learned from the Flintstones. So I only know about like the limestone mining industry and like using like a mammoth to wash your dishes.
As you do.
So I'm not a historian. I'm not a scholar, but I'm pretty sure they didn't have razors and wax back then. We also have it's my favorite. That's not my favorite part. That's like my second favorite part, when they start having sex by the in-ground pool. But the in-ground pool just happens to have like a stone kind of facade. So they're like, yeah, close enough.
And you notice they had like a piece of fabric covering up the filter. That's what that square was.
Which was really weird, because they had that really beautiful waterfall in the beginning, like their little whatever lagoon or whatever where the girls were bathing. But then it's like you had a natural place, but I guess the pool was, you know,
either the way they to got go. Chased out of the first one, or Joe D'Amato didn't spend more money to rent the area.
Or he could just shock the pool when he was done and it was all okay. So we have attractive people, very well groomed, having very
for the most part
choreographed, you know, very really like just very like just seemingly no pleasure sex of just going through the motions. It was a very standard porn of the time, with the exception
booga booga
somebody watched a little too much Captain Caveman as a kid.
Yeah.
And so basically if you saw Fred and Wilma fucking and then bringing in Barney and Betty, like that's what this is. And but not sexy,
all the language capability away. Instead they all went ooh ah, ooh 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 ah.
Hey, you know what though, I understood. Okay, it broke language barriers.
Ridiculousness. I'm gonna talk about the anthropology, the physical anthropology of this in a few minutes, but let's give a little background here. Usually I ask you to encapsulate the plot, but since there pretty much is none,
you know what? I will encapsulate it for you then.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, we've got this tribe of cave people. Maybe two factions, not quite sure. I think it's one. The women are becoming more autonomous. They're going out instead of washing dishes with a mammoth, or, you know, using a, you know, an ostrich as their vacuum or whatever. Like the two girls are like bathing together. And then you've got two girls who, each of them separately, are leisurely lounging around and masturbating in the sun. Now, well, I think that would probably be frowned upon in such like a working class type society. You know, leisure is probably not really something they're used to. So, you know, the guys are going out, finding the women, diddling them to try to get them to come back. They end up bringing them all back, but the women escape to go off on their own to have this Amazonian sort of thing. It's a lot about female power and Fabio hair caveman that all culminates in a wonderful orgy. That's yes. A huge surprise. I had no idea that's where it was going.
Well, there were three tribes and they all wanted those same three girls. There was Baldy's tribe, and you know, he grabs them first, and then Longhair's tribe, and they want to get the girls, and they have a big fight. And in between, lesbian tribe comes and grabs them, and they go off to the lesbian tribe for a while. And then one, I couldn't tell.
And you said there wasn't any plot.
There was another group of people that I couldn't tell who they were. There was just like this massive.
Well, towards the end, there are like a bunch of people that they didn't even like. They didn't even dress them like cave people. They just look like they came off the set of like the latest Backstreet Boys video.
Ridiculous. And they
there's one girl who was wearing earrings, by the way, like dangle earrings.
So funny. And then that's it. And then in between, there's various people having sex, and Baldy basically hoots and literally hoots and howls every time he has an orgasm, which is like 8 or 10 times in the same day, by the way.
I gotta say that I am giving my performance award best actor in a caveman porn goes to Baldy. Best actress in said caveman porn goes to the second girl that he is alone with, who apparently has never seen a penis, and they have the most comical sexual awakening together. And we will talk about that in a little bit.
Roxanne Hall.
That was my favorite. Was like Abbott and Costello, the comedic, like their facial expressions, they were going all fucking slapstick on that. Right. I loved it.
It was hysterical. So
yes, let's lots of raised eyebrows and ooh.
Let's give a little bit of background here. So, All right. So this is a movie that was produced and directed by Joe D'Amato. Joe D'Amato is a pillar of granite in the movie community, both porn movies, stinky movies, horror movies, you name it. Mm-hmm.
He had a couple like really notable Italian horror.
Sure. He was born as Aristide Massacesi in Italy, and he unfortunately died in 1999. He used a bunch of pseudonyms because he liked the idea that he could do his Hollywood type movies in Italy and places in Europe, but also do the porn stuff on the side. And I guess he felt, I guess this is the days before internet movie database, you could get away with having 10 or 12 different pseudonyms, do your porn movies, and then have it never quote unquote get back to you. But of course it does.
Well, if you do like a few hundred of them, chances are somebody's going to figure it out.
Someone's going to pick up the breadcrumbs and follow your trail.
Yeah. Exactly.
He started off doing all kinds of stuff. Like he was a photographer. He was a set designer. He did sound. He did everything back in the 50s and 60s, sort of as a lot of these directors do. They pick up their jobs here and there and learning things as they go, doing all kinds of other things. And then by the early 70s, he started doing directing, and he was doing spaghetti westerns mainly in the beginning. The most notable of which is, there was one called Heroes in Hell, which is really more of a war film, but that has Klaus Kinski in it, and that's 1974. Then he starts to do horror films, and he did a horror film called Death Smiles on a Murderer in 1973, which he used his real name, which was pretty cool. But this is also around the same time. Remember, we had this conversation about how things were changing in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And boy, there was a new way to make money to be able to finance some of your other things. And that was porn film. So he started doing softcore stuff, really. He did like all the Emmanuel movies in the 70s. He did five of those with Laura Gemser. And they made a lot of money internationally. And they weren't quite porn. They were more soft porn. So lots of nudity, lots of kissy, kissy stuff, but no actual like penetration or anything like that. You got right. to see stuff. There was boobs and dangle, but there wasn't anything actually
going. And pretty much any director of that era worth talking about directed at least one Emmanuel movie. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he did a lot of those kind of sexy kinds of things. He did in the 70s, he did the kind of weird stuff too. Like he was doing some horror, sexy, light, sexy things mashed up together, like Papaya Love Goddess and the Cannibals in 1978. And
maybe you didn't have me watch that one.
No, we're gonna get to it. Mm. He actually did another one called Tough to Kill in 1978, which is fairly good. He starts to branch out though, and he starts to do like actual horror movies, probably the biggest one is Beyond the Darkness, which is actually a really good film. And when we get back into doing Forgotten Horror Classics, I'm probably going to do that one because
yeah.
it's really, really well done. And it doesn't really get the attention that it deserves, especially from Joe D'Amato, because everybody thinks about his fuck pictures and some of his other ridiculous things. Also, by the way, in that period, he also ended up doing Porno Holocaust, which was 1981. He also did Erotic Nights of the Living Dead, which is 1980, both of which will be perfect for this show because they're pretty ridiculous. And then he started doing things like he did the A-Tor movies, which is where I initially met Joe D'Amato way back in the 80s. He did A-Tor the Fighting Eagle and A-Tor 2 Blood Masters. And he did a few of them, which ended up, he did like four of them, which finally ending with Quest for the Mighty Sword, which had like little baby junior A-Tor in it. And they're all terrible and wonderful for stinky movies. So it was really a nice to see that kind of thing. But by the early 90s, he had really transitioned into hardcore triple X movies pretty much full time, of which this is one of them. And he did these all the way up into towards the end of his life in 1999. And so he just, like you said, he's made hundreds and hundreds of films, and it was just, he's kind of like a big guy, and you could really approach him in just about any kind of genre and everyone's going to know who he is, you know. Mm-hmm. And most of them are pretty good. Even most of his sex films, they're pretty good. This one is a little different. It's just very strange, which is kind of why I picked it, because it's just not like any other film, period, much less any other of his films, at least in the porn group. It's just weird. I'm not sure exactly how or why he decided to do this one, but
I will say though, like in scrolling through his IMDb, you know, it starts at 99. He doesn't have a whole lot, 99, 98, and at the end of his life. But then you start scrolling through, and I'm like, oh my God, I had to scroll through like five pages to get through 97, five to get through 96. He did like hundreds and hundreds of movies in this time frame.
Where the money
was. I can't imagine that he would have felt really, really strongly about any of these. So I can't, so in saying you don't know why you would have done it, I mean, there's fucking and sure. money.
Sure. I just don't know why he did it like this. I also would like to quickly point out, he was also a producer who produced not only a lot of foreign films, he actually produced a lot of other stuff, including the legendary Troll 2. He was one of the producers. He also produced Umberto Lenzi's Ghost House, which is actually a really good film, and Lucio Fulci's Door to Silence, which is also a very good film. So he is tangentially part of a lot of different stuff, which is very, very interesting to me, especially for all that stuff that was coming out in Europe in the 80s and 90s. So this particular film has Roberto Malone, also known as Roberto Peppino. He's Baldy. Been in a whole bunch of porn movies, a lot of Joe D'Amato's films, and he's been involved from 1986 to 2014. I don't know what he's doing now. I guess he's kind of aged out. He's not usually bald. I think it's the only movie that he was bald in. I guess they wanted a bald hero, quote unquote. So he is, I just call him Baldy because nobody has any names in this other than Uga.
Right. Right. In this kind of movie too, you do have to have that. So I think it's the stark contrast, because the other guy has that luxurious Fabio hair. Exactly. The other, you know, main protagonist, antagonist, whatever the fuck he is.
That's Jerry Pike. I called him long hair, but I think Fabio is probably a better
Fabio.
Like crooked Baldy teeth and Fabio. if Fabio was missing a few teeth and the ears were crooked, that would be Jerry Pike. He's from New Zealand and he's been in the biz. Yeah. He was from 1993-2008, again, a whole bunch of sex pictures, basically. And he was in this one. A lot of the girls who are in this film were also pretty much porn starlets of different kinds. Stefania Sartori was probably one of the biggest ones of the era, 1994 to 2003. She was an Italian model who was in a whole bunch of stuff. Most interesting for me, because she's in a movie that I have always wanted to see, but I've never gotten a chance to. It's called Nikita Sexy Killer. And it is a 2.5 hour porn parody of La Femme Nikita.
La Femme Nikita. That's one of my
favorite movies. So I'm dying to get my weird moves on that one. And then there's Swedish model Tatiana. She was in there. She was in a few porn pics.
Let me guess. Was she the blonde?
Yeah, she was the blonde with the rack. Laura Palmer, a Czech Republic model who was in the biz from 1990 to 2001, was in there. I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Her real name is Petra Semkovaka, something like that.
Okay, so this is 95. So she went with Laura Palmer directly from Twin Peaks.
There you go. There you go. How about that?
Yeah.
Jasmine Delietre, she was in the biz from 1995 to 2000. She was from Hungary. And most importantly of all, and the one that really got me interested in this film before anything else, Roxanne Hall, who is an English porn actress known famously for, she at her 18th birthday got on a plane and said, I'm going in the porn business, and flew out to Italy to do just that. I mean, she had been wanting to do this apparently from early teenage years. And of course you couldn't do that. And she's gorgeous. She's like a model gorgeous. And she was like 19 when this movie came out. So she made it big over in
Europe. She made an impression on me.
Ooh,
like, yeah. I mean, like her comedic play of that whole scene, like, I mean, literally I was dying laughing, and not because it was ridiculous, I just thought it was super funny the way they played it.
Right. She definitely has talent. She has unusual beauty for porn. I mean, I'm not saying there aren't pretty girls in porn. There's usually, it's usually more sexy than pretty. She's drop dead gorgeous, and she's been in a bunch of films, and usually she kind of classes it up because she's also a pretty darn good actress. This is one of her early films. So it's very interesting. And she looks it. I mean, she doesn't look a day over 18. So you can understand why she's in the film. And you're right. She absolutely makes that scene with Roberto Malone, Baldi, with that whole weird, oh, this is, what is this? Is this a penis? What do I do?
Ooh, oh, what I do see. I do with this thing? Yeah.
It was very, very strange. But so that's kind of where the background is for who made the films. Again, why this? I mean, I remember in the 70s, there was like a big thing for sort of Caribbean movies. That's where all the Emmanuel things came from. And then all the cannibal movies, that was in the 70s, but that was the 70s. This is 20 years later. That's what I don't quite get about this. This movie feels like it's at least a decade behind the times.
Well, okay, I was thinking about this, and I think actually it might have been ahead of the times, like I was saying with the Nia girl and Helper girl and all of that. So this is kind of the advent of like the theme porn, where it doesn't really have a plot, but they have to have something, like some kind of central theme that sets it apart from everything. And I think, you know, who else would you want to see fucking? I want to see cave people fucking, of course. I want to see the origins of our sexuality, you know, whatever. I could see why they would do it.
Well,
and I think it was a little bit ahead of its time.
The other thing is you don't have to burden them with an actual script either.
Right, because you've already said Hungary, New Zealand. We've got English-speaking people, Hungarian people. We've got Italians. We've got all these people. And they're speaking the language of Ooga Booga, and it works.
It's so well. I don't know about it being working. It's, to me, it undermines everything. It's, you can't take this seriously. It's so ridiculous.
And that was one thing that I was thinking, like, to tell people, if you want to watch this, I mean, it is legit porn. I mean, like I said, people are, it goes through the whole gamut. You got girl on girl, guy on guy, and girl and guy, and blah, 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 the whole thing. But turn the volume all the way down. Do yourself a favor and just put it on mute. And then it would be legit.
at least up until you get that wonderful inner thing between Roxanne Hall and Roberto Malone.
Then crank up the volume because it's hilarious. But
the problem is, at least for me, okay, it starts off ridiculous and funny and hysterical, but by the halfway through, it just gets on my last nerve to hear all this ridiculousness. You know,
ooga booging.
Oh my God, it's so retarded. And I know that's evil word, but you know, I mean, the thing is that, you know, back in the day, we knew that early man had developed some languages. They didn't just go running around going ooga booga, blah, 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 blah. I mean, language is key to our development as a civilization. And it was invented because we are social creatures. We have to be able to communicate with each other so that we can hunt and we can build societies. I mean, that's what separates us from all the other creatures. And it turns out, I mean, early anthropologists were thinking that speech probably developed somewhere between 200 and 100,000 years ago with the advent of modern humans. But lately, there have been coming out a lot of interesting theories and a lot of interesting stuff from the biological anthropology part saying, actually, that the physical components like our larynx, our voice box, our development of our throat, and the way that certain bones are in our bodies and our skulls actually pushes that date back 27 million years, which is way, way back before humans and chimps and all that, before we, you know, when we had a common ancestor, which is fascinating to me. But the point is that they probably said something more than ooga, aga, ooga, googa. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they probably said, oh, I've got to go get my waxing done.
Because there are parts where there's no porn going on. Like after Longhair gets his ass beat with, and he's back there with his buddies and he's complaining to them and he's like rubbing his head and he's like, rub, 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 and they're having like a conversation, but it's all ooga googa stuff, but they seem to be completely understanding each other. And I have no idea what they're trying to say, but they know.
There's a lot of pointing, a lot of angry fist shaking. And, you know, you can, they're like, we got to go get our pussy. You know, I kind of got it. I could feel it, man.
That was you supplying that. Me, I'm like, oh, we should probably go catch dinner now. Or, you know, my crotch is itchy. Or, you know.
What movie were you watching? They clearly, everybody was on the prowl to get laid.
Constantly.
Everybody. Yeah.
This was like, this also had a feel of like a 70s teenage sex comedy too, you know.
Yes. Everybody had been everybody's going to the beach and trying to get laid.
Oh my God. It's like, surely human society did other things somewhere.
You know what? I like to always say, you know, when people like to say, well, we didn't do that when we were kids, blah, blah. You know, yes, you did. It was just different. I like to say that people don't change, just society changes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these might have been our 70s teen, their teenagers going to look for a kegger and, you know, on an orgy.
Well, now the funny thing is that Ed Wood did something kind of similar in the early 60s. I forget the name of it, but it's definitely a movie that I wanted to do. We've already done our Ed Wood for the year, so we will save it for next year. But he did it with Native American women, where this tribe of Native American women are running around bare-breasted, and they are, you know, go through this whole sort of weird communication thing too. So I have to wonder if Joe D'Amato saw this and it just influenced him just a little tiny bit. And then of course there's movies like A Million Years AC/DC, which Ed Wood also wrote, and I think he didn't direct it, but I know he wrote it and maybe produced or done something with it. But that's pretty much caveman porn as well, with rubber dinosaurs. Wait till I show you that. It's really bad.
Yeah,
it's so ridiculous. But other things actually happen in that film, not in this. That's that's like more of a caveman, which actually happens to have sex movie. This is a straight up sex movie. There's nothing
else. This is a sex movie where people happen to wear like some little furs and say ooga booga.
But it's still at a period where they made movies, sex movies with actual narratives, that beginning and end. It's not 30 seconds of this scene, 30 seconds of that scene, 30 seconds of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's scene compilations that don't have anything to do with each other other than sex. So there is that. And you were saying,
right. And it's before the whole, hey, let's make up the scenario around a lone, like a bored housewife, or like, you know, some MILF who orders a pizza, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, it has a theme to it. I can appreciate it.
Sure. And I think that's kind of why you see a lot more themed or story or narrative driven hardcore movies in the 60s, 70s and 80s, and dying out in the 90s, because I think the directors and the people who are involved in that, who learned their craft, they started off doing horror films, they started off doing other things, and that's what they knew, as opposed to say by the mid-90s and the 2000s and up until today, it's another generation of people who never bothered, they didn't have to learn their craft by doing legit quote-unquote film.
Well,
they
and just let's face
jumped
it,
off doing porn.
That's not what people want to see. I mean, I can watch a movie with a great narrative if I want to, I can watch anything that I want. So if I want to go watch a fuck movie, there better be fucking, you know, sure. Like if we are at that point in time, if I'm going to watch a horror movie, there better be some fucking horror. Like, I mean, we're that spoiled because we're so oversaturated that, yeah, I mean, you got to go where your audience is.
Sure. And especially, you know, you have porn tubes and you have, you know, everything that caters towards 30-second clips, you know, of yeah. whatever you want, which is why movies like this are kind of like a dinosaur. I mean, where do you put it? You're not the people who go to watch 30-second clips. They're not going to put up with this. They're not going to watch.
Oh, no. Well, they might watch 30 seconds of it.
Right.
And that's it. They might go, ooh, that girl's hot. Da, da, da. Let's just go for that segment. And
right.
That would be about it.
The audience for this back then, it was still used to actual hour and a half of story, even, you know, a tiny, tiny minute story like in this.
Well, mm-hmm. And this is also a time where, you know, the video, home video is huge. It's right before the advent of DVD.
Mm-hmm.
When you rented something, you didn't want some like little tiny, you know, you didn't want something that was 5 minutes long. You rented it, you paid your $5 at the video store. It better be fucking long and I better be able to rewind and, you know, have parts that I like and everything else. And it's just not like that anymore because everything's so in demand and on demand for us now.
Sure. And of course, production changes as well. When you were doing film and even when you were doing
VHS, right.
It just doesn't really lend itself well to doing 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there. But digitally, right. Whole different ball game.
We're just in we're in a different era. Yeah, we're in a different era. But back right. then, yeah, you want, and I will say this is, I think, the first one we've done that's actually full feature length. I mean, right. Some of them have been features, but this was an actual full hour and a half, like a normal movie.
Right. And those are kind of rare these days. I mean, you still get like, there's a couple like Star Wars and Star Trek porn parodies. There's a couple pirate ones. There's actually some ones that are out there that are actually kind of funny and kind of good, but they're rare. You generally do not get full length porn parody XXX films anymore. You know,
no.
They're just not made for the modern audience, which is really geared up around, you know, X-rated porn tubes that are all, you know, a few seconds here, a few minutes there at the most.
Yeah.
And
we're a busy society. We got 5 minutes.
There you go.
You know.
And certainly, again, production-wise, I mean, to make a modern film, what do you need? You just need lights and a room. It's dirt cheap.
And your phone.
And your phone, right?
It's yeah, I mean, to
do anything these days. It's a different world. And 90s was right at the time when things were transitioning into digital. So you didn't really have that after Joe D'Amato left, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So did you actually enjoy this film? Because I'm very curious.
Okay. I recently have inherited some children in my home. It's been a very long time since I've had young children.
Yeah.
So watching porn on my TV, even bad porn, is not really an option at the moment. So I went out of town last weekend to film a movie, a completely non-porn movie. And I didn't really know what to expect. So I'm at the Indianapolis airport. I got there my 2 hours early. I put on my phone, put on my headphones, and I start watching this. And I'm like, wow, I don't think I can watch this at the airport. Even on my little phone, I kept just looking up. And it's like 8 in the morning. There's like nobody there, but I just kept looking over my shoulder going,
that is hysterical.
Right.
Awkward.
So, yeah. So I kind of like, I was like, okay, this is not the place to watch this. Not my type of porn. Like I said, I am actually a fan of like realistic stuff. I like the amateur stuff. I like to see people really having sex and not going, yeah, you know, and just like, you know, never like it's like the girls never have an orgasm, even a fake one. It's like they get railed the whole time and they're just going crazy the whole time and they never have an orgasm. And then the guys, by the time they actually are like allowed to come, you can tell they're about ready to have a heart attack because they've just been spending their entire time going, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. You know, like it's right, the right. most unnatural, weird thing. But if you, you know, if you're the kind of person that you just want to see, you know, balls and tits and, you know, you want that up close, kind of, I want to say like sanitized kind of thing. You know, these aren't natural looking people. It has its merit, its value. This is kind of the first stuff that I would like watch as an adult, you know, sure, I mean, it's 95. You know, that's the year after I graduated high school. So
it all felt pretty contrived, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like everything.
It's like Backlessly, except actually done 100% better.
Right. With people who actually like, yeah, have their cognitive state about them to be able to actually have sex and stay upright.
Yes.
But yeah, like, I mean, there's just a lot of like, you can hear the director in your head, like, okay, stick it in her ass 3 times. Okay. Get the camera in there. Now pull it out so we can see your asshole. Okay. Now put it back in, you know, like, it's just so like choreographed and, mm-hmm. and that was never like anything that I ever was like, quote unquote, turned on by, but in the scheme of what we've been watching, this is at least fucking porn, you know?
Right. Well, remember, you know, when we do this, I was saying we were going to quite a variety of different kinds.
Oh, and we have. You have just opened up a whole rainbow.
This is definitely the first serious porn, and even though
or modern or yeah, I think like that's
part of the
porn.
Problem for me is that it takes itself a little too seriously. If this had been done with more comedy, I think I would have enjoyed this more,
but yeah,
it doesn't really.
Because like really I said, that my favorite part is the comedic part. And I think like, I was just kind of fast forwarding through some stuff, watching it, like I'm in the bathroom 10 minutes, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like I try to sneak this, like I'm a teenager. And I get to that part and like, he pulls out his ball sack really far and she just goes, whoo, and just goes, and like grabs it and is kind of going,
I know. And I'm like, what the hell? Don't bite me. My taint there. Good Lord.
Dude. And then the best thing, he breaks fourth wall. She's up on the tree. She's like hanging off this tree or whatever the hell, you know? And he starts diddling her. And then he like puts a finger inside her and then he takes it out and looks and he like looks at the camera and goes, oh, like, wow, it's got a hole for my wiener. like it is the most comical, ridiculous thing. But
and
yeah,
that's the best part, because I'm thinking he probably says that a lot of times, no matter what he finds anywhere. Yeah,
it's got a place for my wiener.
It's got a place for my wiener. That was the best part. And unfortunately, it's an oasis because most of the rest of the movie is just dull. It's just
blah. Yeah, it is. It's very dull. It's very, okay, we're going to set up a few scenarios. But the other thing that kind of it's... The other thing that porn evolved into, like in the next, say, 5 to 10 years, was they tried to put like the person in, they tried to put you in the position of the person. Mm-hmm. So it was always like, oh, you know, like I've been working at the bank all day and then I come home and I expect my husband to like go down on me or blah, blah, blah. Like it's like they tried to like make it more, I don't want to use this word, but it's the word I'm going to use, realistic or relatable.
Right.
Like relatable. It still wasn't realistic, like in like an amateur porn when you're watching like an actual couple have sex, but it was, you know, they tried to put it into our perspective. This, I, like I said, Flintstones, Captain Caveman, all I know about cave people. All I know.
Well, and just the way that it was done, there's no way you could do that today. Not just from, you know, the bite-sized, you know, porn bits that were used to being fed, but just even the attitudes. I mean, let's face it, the girls were getting pretty much
ready. Oh my God.
It was raped awful. And they're like, okay, well, since we're doing this and it feels good, why not? And it's just, they just go one group to the next, and the next group jumps them and uses them. And then the next one jumps them. And it's just awful.
Yeah. They wouldn't be able to do that. But to be fair, we do not know, because there was a narration somewhere in the middle. So we don't know if, like, it was saying, you know, these women are luring these men out, blah, blah, blah. We don't know. You know, right. That is where the language barrier is. We know the Ooga Booga, but we don't know that.
even the lesbian tribe ends up.
They're aggressive as fuck.
Seriously. Man. Whoa.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a little surprising, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. It does feel to me like a bit of a porn dinosaur. And it feels like a porn from the 70s, but it's not. I keep having to remind myself, this is 1995. It's not 1978. It's very strange, you know?
Yeah. But it's more hardcore. Like, I never have seen anything, if only for the grooming. Like, I've never seen, like, that's where it totally grounds you in the decade.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, the girls looked good. I mean, I guess the guys were okay. I mean, they're mostly groomed, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Again, we're still a little more hairy then than you would have now. There was no manscaping going on in that.
Well, I'm telling you, when she bit his ball sack, there was no hair on that. Right, no hair on his head, no hair down there either. Yeah.
Well, he is baldy. So there you go. That makes
that's right.
Sense. As far as the action goes, I mean, they pretty much kind of do everything. There's a lot of fuck until I come in your face. There was a lot of that.
Yeah. A lot of that. A lot of, uh-huh.
Or come on,
which
your
I'm pretty sure too, that like that sex at that point in time was probably mostly instinctual and for procreation. So I'm not thinking there'd be a lot of coming on people, but hey, there probably wasn't also a lot of butt play.
Right.
I'm just saying, but again, I ain't no scholar. I don't know anything about the mating habits of cave people.
The other thing too is, you know, there was still the AIDS crisis going on back then. So I imagine that also had some bearing into how one got their cookies off. And
That's all just a visual medium. I'm telling you what. Yeah. It's like, that's the happy ending, the money shot. You know, you just didn't have a porn in the 90s without that. You still don't have a porn today if you don't have it, really.
Right. That's kind of what everybody's expecting.
Everybody's expecting it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, they did it in the 60s and 70s and 80s. So there's a tradition you have to follow if you're going to be doing hardcore sex.
They didn't do it in Bat Pussy because that guy couldn't even get it up.
sure they would have if they could have, but they did not.
Now, this did have slightly less spooge than Labette.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of our season end wrap up. Like we can we can kind of bring it full circle.
I mean, let's face it, Baldy was up to the challenge, but he was no match for Labette. That was a 3 foot long schlong with about a liter of
with a super soaker.
Yes. So yeah. But the girls were a lot more attentive than some of the ones in like some of the earlier movies where they were just kind of like, I don't know if they were on drugs or what.
Well, yeah, like there's, I think the ones that we watched that weren't like legit movies, like Labette. So going back more to like Bat Pussy, and I can't remember the other one that we watched that.
The vampire one.
Yeah, like. You get the impression there's a lot of like hardcore drugs going on with everybody on set. And I'm not, you know, this is not defamation or anything. This is just the time and what they're doing and just the way that they look.
And they
look stoned out of their fucking minds.
I don't think they had very much experience. Whereas I think everybody involved in this particular film has done plenty of work. And they knew all the tricks. They knew everything pretty much. There was nothing that they hadn't already done before.
They were pros. And it's like, you know, you take it for granted, but even in porn, like you've got to still be a professional, show up on set and do your job and do it well and be cooperative with the other people. I mean, it's no different than any other movie or any other job.
Again, makes it seem jarring because you would expect this movie to be a lot more polished and it's just not. You know,
Yeah.
It's kind of rough. It's kind of crappy. It's kind of slow and dull and cheap and seems slapdash thrown together. Lots of stock footage. Like there's a stock footage crocodile that gets in there a few times. And you know, I guess
the sea turtles really killed me. I'm like, where's Jacques Cousteau now?
Exactly. Like, what is this crocodile supposed to, am I supposed to be afraid? I mean, are you implying that it's coming to kill someone? Well, it doesn't do a damn thing. What was it in there for?
Yeah. And then there's also like stock footage of like a kind of tribal, you know, peoples, like a native tribal peoples. And it's like, dude, I don't know what correlation you're making. Again, I don't know what the fuck you're saying, dude.
Did you notice? One of my favorite porn conventions is, for whatever freaking reason, the guy always has to have his socks on, because God forbid you take your socks off. In this case, because they didn't have socks, instead they had bags tied to their feet. Did you notice that?
No, I did not.
Not the girls. I definitely noticed the girls.
But no, I did not notice the bag feet man. Yeah.
Yep. All, it's pretty much all the men have bags on their feet and all the women are barefoot.
That's hilarious. Nobody wants to see a guy's feet. I'm sorry. Not even guys want to see guys' feet, you know?
Is it a foot thing? Is it an anti-foot thing? I mean, it's just weird.
I don't know.
I mean, mostly in porn films, the women have heels on.
That would have been hilarious if they had like little, like, I don't know, bone heels.
Right. So the whole convention of the men have to have socks and the women have to have heels is kind of out the window in this movie. But it just was curious to me that the guys had bags on their feet, but the women were allowed to be au naturel. It's interesting. Although
this might be an avenue we need to research.
I know. There you go. Maybe we can get a Pell Grant from the government or something.
We do have to do at least one episode next season that just talks about all the things we've kind of talked about all season, and that is, you know, the progression of porn throughout the years. Sure. You know, and what we've noticed, maybe, you know, decade by decade, you know, the hallmarks of porn of different decades.
That would be a great sort of intro into the next season. Maybe not necessarily talking about a movie per se, but sort of an episode where we sort of go into that, and maybe we can take some time and, you know, elucidate our thoughts and do a little research and talk about the development. Because the very first movie we did with Bat Pussy, I kind of spent about 5 minutes talking about that, but we need more than that.
Yeah, we've peppered things in as we've gone on, and, you know, we've done things from different generations and kind of compared them to other generations. But yeah, I think we need to get a little cerebral next season. We're intelligent people. We're educated.
We might need a new website too, because it would be nice for folks to kind of go there and see. Maybe we can do some essays or something. It would be very interesting.
Yes, scholarly essays. Thank you.
This way, you know, it's not just people whacking off and dangle and animal sex and weird shit. Although they like that.
We get all those perspectives, but yeah.
Sex.
But that's what we're really here.
Cast brings you pretty much everything.
We're here to judge the boner worthiness of these movies. Okay.
That's right. And speaking of which, that's a great segue. At this point, we should really talk about whether this movie is boneworthy or not. And if it's not boneworthy, what is it?
I'm going to say it is boneworthy. Okay. It may not have floated your boat, and it may not have, I mean, you know, I had, you know, whatever. It was enough from, you know, to, you know, get my rocks off here and there.
So then not, how many bones would you give it though? I think we'd give 1 to 3 bones.
See, if I'd watched this in 95, I'd probably have given 3, just because, yeah, you know, I think comparatively, whatever, you know, with a modern eye. I mean, I was watching it at the airport and I was more worried about somebody seeing it than me getting turned on. So I would say, yes, it's boneworthy. Yes, somebody could put this on, turn the volume way the fuck down, you know, that actually, maybe I should say that with volume, it maybe gets two bones. No volume, one. Let's put it that way.
Okay, that's interesting. So bone and a half, maybe?
Yeah. We'll split the difference there. Okay. I'll say bone and a half. That's good.
Sounds good.
I think this is the first bone-worthy movie.
Oh, we've had a few. It's been a while, but we've had a couple.
I'm going to have to look back. Actually, the one where, what was the one where that was the vampire one. The vampire one I did say was bone-worthy, because right. There was some decent sex in the hotels.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to have to go. I will agree to, mainly because of Roxanne Hall. Roxanne Hall made this movie. If it weren't for her, I would have very little interest in this other than the fact that this is a colossal failure. Because to me, it's just ridiculous and stupid. And it's just, you know, I understand make a sex pick, so just make nothing but sex. But good Lord, the whole Ooga Booga thing just drove me out of my tree. It was just so ridiculous. But Roxanne Hall is pretty flapping gorgeous. And to see her that young was just amazing. So I'm going to give it one bone. It gets it one bone. There were actual erections. There were actual ejaculations. Yes. There were actual people having sex. And that's a hurdle that some of our movies don't clear.
Yes, that is true. Our bar is low, kids. They had sex. Right. We give it a bone. It doesn't
have nearly the amount of plot as some of the other ones we have. Even Bat Pussy had a little bit more plot than this. But I would have to say it gets one bone for me. You know, Roxanne Hall pretty much makes it for me. So, and it's really weird because Joe D'Amato, you know, his vision, his touch, his directing style pretty much gets lost in this. If you hadn't told me this was a Joe D'Amato film, I never would have guessed.
Yeah, it is pretty generic. Right. Yeah, it doesn't feel like this doesn't feel like, I don't think I've ever seen a Joe D'Amato movie that wasn't like Hator or, you know, fucking Beyond the Darkness. But like, this is to me, like you show me this, I'd be like, why does this guy have this legacy? You know, like right. It does feel like he had to have done better stuff for him to Absolutely. Have the legacy.
And he has. And if you were to see Porno Holocaust, which is the one I wanted to show you initially, this would be a much, much different reaction. Now, I don't know how much more successful it was than this, but his style definitely comes through more in that film than in this one. This one just feels odd, you know?
Yeah.
Feels strange. But like I said, you're not going to see very many films, much less very many porn films like this film. In fact, I can't remember anything else where you don't have any dialogue other than grunts and groans and hoots and howls. Can you think of any?
Not offhand, and not done this poorly, but no.
There you go. Well, you know me, I love porn fail. You know, porn successes are okay, I guess. They don't really get me off or anything, but porn failure is just one of my favorite things in the world.
It's just tasty.
It is. It's a whole other dish that you generally don't get to savor too much, and we never get to hear people talk about it. So that's why I made this show of different porn types, whether it's nudie cuties or, you know, soft porn or just weird, strange, artsy stuff with just lots of boobs and dangle. It all gets covered here on Sexploitation Sleazecast.
We're going to have to do like an actual legit something that's from the last, say, 10 years that has gotten some really good traction and has, you know, that's won awards and that kind of thing. Just, you know, because if you're going to do The Room and, you know, Fateful Findings, you've got to do Titanic as well. You've got to go both ways. You've got to have, you know, the Oscar winners, the AVN winners.
Well, it's a shame because some of the ones I have lined up for you, I just wish I could have done this year round. Trust me. When you see the Turkish homosexual ET ripoff, you're going to flip your head.
All right. And that's so damn.
Third one that was made. There's like a whole subgenre of Turkish ET.
Turkish
porn.
Homo ET.
Yes.
I love it.
So
I love it. If you can, what is that rule 34, rule 31, whatever? If you can think it, there's a porn for it.
Oh yeah. It's amazing. It really is. All right. Well, I think it's right about this time to wrap up our show. Thanks everybody for joining us in Sexploitation Sleazecast. I like to think that season one was very successful. Thanks largely to our co-hostess with the Moses, Ms. Rebecca Reinheil. Thank you very, very much for appearing on the show and being subjected to these weird, wacky films.
Hey, thank you for thinking of me. I'm honored.
Whenever I think of weird, strange porn, I immediately think of you.
Yay. That's something I've always wanted to hear.
There you go. So you'll be joining us for season two next year?
Oh, yes, I will.
Yay. Outstanding. All right. Well, everybody, please come and join us next time. And we will see you once again next year for Sexploitation Sleazecast.
Yeah. Booga, 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 booga.
All right, everybody. Bye.
Good night.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. And see you next time.
Thanks again. All right. All right. Good luck with the house, dude.
Thank you very much.
I get your funny got the free boogie. What's your foul for donkey? Free the mohoti con the wapo to the goosey. When the hunting kind of friend to push the palm of mobile.